Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, July 19th, 2017. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando's stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Now, today, we're going to bring you part three of the Behind the Ears podcast, Summer Trip Report with Uncle Danny and Mr. Chris from Behind the Ears podcast. This is the end of that. I apologize in advance. I thought we had that covered in two parts. Turned out there were three. But I wanted to give them a chance to finish their trip report. Now, before I turn the show over to the guys, I do want to remind you that we've got some Diz Dads shirts available again for the first time in a while. They're over at teespring.com this time. And what we've done is set up our own little store on Teespring. So you go to teespring.com/stores/DizDads, D-I-S-D-A-D-S, and there you'll find both men's sizes and children's sizes with the Diz Dads Circle logo and then the little banner logo on the front. Take a look. If there's something there, we've kept the prices as low as we possibly could, well below the recommended prices from Teespring, and even at that, 50% of the profit is going to a national suicide prevention charity that I feel pretty strongly about and I think would really appreciate your assistance as well. All right, well, enough of my rambling. Let's turn this over to Uncle Danny and Mr. Chris.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is our final boarding call and the doors will be closing soon. Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily. Thank you.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Behind the Ears Podcast. I'm Uncle Danny. Alongside of me tonight, Mr. Chris.
Hi, everybody, and thanks for listening. We are so glad that you are here. When you're not listening to the show, you can catch us over at our Facebook page at Behind Ears Podcast. Our website is behindearspodcast.net. You can tweet us over at Behind Ears PC. Our Instagram page is at Behind Ears Podcast. Or you can drop us a line over at behindearspodcast@gmail.com. You can also enjoy our live podcast recordings on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, 9:45 p.m. Eastern Time, over at the Streaming Disney Facebook page.
You can always interact with your favorite Disney podcast hosts over at the Disney Community Facebook page. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Behind the Ears Podcast. And lastly, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe over on iTunes and Podcast Addicts. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy your trip through Disney World. Tired of waking up at 2 a.m. to get reservations for dining on your next Disney trip that's still 6 months away? Well, head on over to MouseMasterTravel.com and let them take care of everything while you sit back and relax and wait for your next trip. That's MouseMasterTravel.com. Welcome back, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another podcast. And the name of the podcast is Behind the Ears Podcast. I am one of the hosts tonight. My name is Uncle Danny. Alongside of me tonight is the other fantastic host of the show, Mr. Chris. Mr. Chris, how are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great on a day that it's not Monday, and we're one day closer to Friday. And I know I've said that before, but what can I tell you? You know, I'm still kind of on that Disney trip high, and what I really can't believe is that I've already been out of Disney for almost a week and a half now, and it's like, ugh, it stinks. But hey, I digress. But we're going to talk a little bit about our last part of our trip, which I just think is going to be super awesome.
So, like Chris said, tonight we're going to touch on the final part of the trip, which is going to be very heavily based in Magic Kingdom, a lot on Happily Ever After and the Happily Ever After Dessert Party. But before we get into it, if you're not a member, go join over at the Disney Community Facebook page, because we do a lot of fun stuff over there. But the reason I bring that up is not a cheap plug for it, even though it was. There's a shirt for sale in honor of Disney Quest going away. And Chris, you like the shirt.
I think the shirt is really cool. And the reason why I like it so much is because I think it pays homage to, you know, the vintage 8-bit games that they had there and so on and so forth. I thought it was really cool. I thought it was simple. Not really too elaborate. I actually got one for my son. He doesn't know it yet, but, you know, the fact of the matter is, I just thought it was kind of a nice little commemorative shirt for Disney Quest. I gotta be honest with you. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I think I'm going to miss Disney Quest. And I know that there was a great blog post that came out just recently from Alex, one of our awesome bloggers and our senior editor. And, you know, quite honestly, you know, I'm very surprised that the shirt just got released yesterday. On the 26th. So I was a little surprised. It's like there was no Hoopla. It was only available over on DisneyStore.com. I don't know if it's still available, but I got my son one.
It is.
So we'll have to – well, I can't wait to see it. It should be kind of cool.
And the reason I bring this up is not to, hey, go buy Disney merchandise. I want to show a lot of the people who aren't necessarily diehard listeners of ours who – either you pop in occasionally or, hey, this might be the first time you're here and you're like, what is going on? Why I brought this up was it shows you the diversity inside the show. Chris loves the shirt. Chris went out and bought his shirt, a shirt for his son. I think it's terrible. And that's just my personal opinion. And the reason I go down that route is they, to me, missed a major opportunity.
I don't disagree, though. I don't disagree with that at all.
How do you not put the genie on the front of the shirt?
Especially since the genie used to be a big part of
Disney Quest.
Of the pre-show. As you walk in, you scan your ticket or whatever it was at that time. You go onto the elevators, and they had a whole pre-show opening that included genie. And the elevator acted like you were, you know, rocket shipping off into the, you know, great unknown, and then ding! You're there on the third floor. You didn't know it was the third floor, but, you know.
Not to be morbid, but you have his passing to tie into it. Almost like a tribute to
Robin Williams. Yeah, I would say that I know you and I talked about this off the air beforehand. I didn't quite catch your idea with that right off the bat. But now I can certainly agree. They did miss an opportunity. I think the shirt's still cool, but it would have been kind of cool to, you know, have something tie in with that. It was a big deal with it. But, you know, to tell you the truth, take into consideration Disney Quest was supposed to be gone a year ago, and that it's kind of died out over the, you know, past year in comparing the last 2 years. Yeah, I could see it. The shirt's kind of going out. The shirt's coming in the way that the venue is going out.
Quiet.
kind of, sort of.
Quiet on the radar. But, you know, I use the analogy of Pizza Planet. And the reason I went into it was Pizza Planet had its moments where you're like, okay, this is kind of cool. But in the grand scheme of things, I feel they completely dropped the ball on Pizza Planet.
I've got to tell you something. I've been meaning to tell you about this ever since you left Disney last week or the week before last. We went to Pizza Rizzo.
Okay.
And it was actually really pretty good. I'll be honest with you. The food was really good. The decor was rather blah. But here's what really grinded my gears. And this is not a grind my gears episode, but this is what grinded my gears. We got to Hollywood Studios about 5:30, 6 o'clock. On the day that we were going to go see Fantasmic. And we thought, okay, we'll go get a quick dinner back over at Pizza Rizzo. We'll just grab a pizza. No big deal, right? They were freaking closed at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Why?
You know, I mean, it was just like, I didn't understand it. I'm just like, we, you know, someone was walking out. We kind of walked in. It was a ghost town. And I just sat there. I looked at my wife. I'm like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there aren't too many, you know, food places. We ended up going back over to the Backlot Express again, which isn't all that bad, to be honest with you. I think they actually have some of the best chicken, you know, at Hollywood Studios. We were going to go to the ABC Commissary. But quite honestly, nothing looked appetizing to my wife and my son. There were some things that looked good, but I'm like, how are they going to do that in quick serve? I may try that again in my next trip. Anyway, I'm babbling, but I was like, still, Pizza Rizzo is mainly a lunch venue from what it sounds like. Very disappointed in that. I'll be honest with you. I just wanted a pizza.
Yeah. See, I wasn't going into the whole idea of Pizza Rizzo.
I know.
I like it. I like you did because I'll never go in there, but it just, you know, I was talking to Alex the other day, and this topic came up of Pizza Planet. And, you know, I take it almost as like personal, like I take it personally because of the fact of how much I'm a Toy Story nut.
Sure.
If you're new to the show, you know, Buzz Lightyear tattoo on my arm, like Alien, like I love it. And when I hear that, I'm like, wow, you guys dropped the ball. And I mean, we'll get into another show because we're going to start this one now, but I'll tell you what, I'm not happy with the way Toy Story Land's shaping up, but I'll leave that on the cliff and you guys can wait for another show.
Oh, you're mean.
Anyway. So we kind of dived into the beginning of Magic Kingdom and like, oh, what did we do, me and you and everything like that. You know, we touched on, you know, seeing Sony Eclipse. We did all that. But what we didn't get into because we ran out of time was Happily Ever After. And how me and you were able to get Happily Ever After. So what, you got four, I got one. We got five tickets for Happily Ever After Dessert Party, like 3 hours before the show.
Mm-hmm. That was about right. Yeah. And it was 60.
Shock.
It was a big shocker. It was $60 a pop. And, well, I think I'll
tell me how you really feel.
Okay. You want me to tell you how you really feel? I thought the desserts were very, very good. Really enjoyed it. And they had some chocolate-covered strawberries that were just out of this world. Wonderful spread of desserts. They had really nice, you know, good beverages. They had sparkling, you know, sparkling apple juice. Nothing alcoholic. It was all, you know, all non-alcoholic, all kid-friendly. They had an area where you can get ice cream, make your own cookies. They had a make your own s'more stick, which was kind of cool. They had one of those plastic Mickey head straws that you can like put marshmallows and stuff on it. It kind of like a little skewer of things with fruit and marshmallows and stuff like that. Really well done from the dessert factor. But it was a little on the crowded side. We ate where the Tomorrowland Terrace restaurant is. And then when you're done close to showtime, you are basically guided over to, we had, Danny and I both had, like garden view or terrace view. And so we walked over to like the new garden area that's kind of in front of the castle, but one's on each side of Main Street. And, you know, here's the thing. I had a plate of desserts. And I really should not have eaten all those desserts. I'll be really honest. I had that, some iced tea. I had some of the juice. I mean, it was the really high-quality desserts. Really enjoyed it. I'll get into some more of my observations on some of the other things in a minute. But the viewing area, I have two things to say about it. One, it was a good viewing area, but not great. We were hoping that it was going to be more in front of the castle. And about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when we were walking past the castle, we realized nothing's been blocked off and people are already standing there. And realized it wasn't going to be that way. Now, we've had fast passes for wishes in the past in that same area. And again, it's good, but you have a partially obstructed view. You have either lights or shrubbery or something that's kind of in front of you. In fact, Danny, you actually streamed that show, which, well, you tried to. I know it was you had a there was some very difficult streaming going on that day, but we had to find a little slot in order to see the castle well. And overall, I'm glad I did it, but going to be honest, I don't think it was worth $60 a head. I'm sorry.
All right. I've done almost every dessert party there is now, speaking generally. I still say by far the best one I've had is Illuminations. Solely because of where you eat is basically the same exact spot of where you watch Illuminations from.
No, that's cool.
It's a very nice ambiance when you're at Illuminations, but we're not talking about Illuminations, so I'm not going to keep going into it. $60 was way too much money. Way too much money, especially for even what you got.
Yeah.
You know, and I was going in thinking, okay, I'm really paying $60 for the spot to stand in. That's really, in my back of my mind, a couple cookies, maybe a cup of coffee.
You could probably say that you got $20 worth of food and beverages, you know, if you're really, you know, going up Disney prices type of thing. And then, yeah, $40 for the premium seating. But here's the deal, dude. You paid $60. I paid $240 for my family of four. Yeah. Again, I'm not complaining. I'm glad I did it. I'm merely providing an observation to our listeners. You know.
And to the listeners, that's why I brought up Illuminations, was to basically say, if you're going to do a dessert party, do Illuminations, because to me it's worth the money.
Sure.
But speaking strictly on Happily Ever After, the desserts were good. The Oreo gray stuff was really good. The chocolate-colored strawberries was fantastic. The Coffrees was not Joffrey's, so I was really upset about that.
It wasn't?
No, it wasn't.
I didn't have any of the coffee.
It was just sludge coffee, sludge. Man. It was motor oil in a cup.
Doc Hudson's coffee! You know,
they kind of made a big stink that I wanted to take my coffee with me. You know, and we were told, you know, do the terrace, do the garden view because you actually have a better view.
Right.
I'll tell you this, the decor, they look like they just wheeled out some desserts and that was it. There was no spice to it. They should have really piped in some music. I didn't think there was I don't think there was any ample, there wasn't enough ample seating.
There was, I'll tell you right now, that's one thing I wanted to say. There was, I hope everybody understands. I'm not saying this to be critical, but here's the deal. There were a lot of kids running around. I mean, running around. There was a young girl that was kind of goofing around, and she ended up tipping her chair backwards, falling flat on her back right next to us. And I'm like, oh my gosh, is she okay? I mean, it's like, it was a little bit, everything was crazy. And I would have expected a little bit better, you know, ambiance and everything else in order to try to help avoid some of that craziness. The worst thing you want to do is carry a plate full of desserts around and being run into by a, you know, kid that's running around. I know it's Disney. Kids are going to run around. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm just saying it's like I wish it was a little bit better set up so that you didn't have, you know, kids weren't bored. So they weren't running around. Yeah. So that was one of my biggest things.
You know, when it goes to ample seating, yeah, everybody was able to sit. But with that being said, even with the sitting, it was still crammed. Like they only put out these little, like almost like end tables you would see in your house.
Well, yeah.
They weren't big tables.
No, they weren't necessarily big tables, but they're also the same tables that are used, for the Tomorrowland Terrace restaurant. So it's not, you know, I'm not really surprised they didn't put anything else new out. I will say the spread was good. You're going to pay for the seating. You know, we got there. We were told, okay, Happily Ever After started at 9. We were told to get there at 7:30. So in essence, we had an hour to sit back and enjoy the food. So we weren't really rushed. You know, and then we got to the, you know, our place in the, you know, the garden area to view about 20 minutes beforehand, and we got a pretty nice spot. We met some nice people there, and, you know, it was good. I mean, all this, but here's what I have to say this, Danny, before I forget. Here's the part that really kind of gets me. We used to stand on the bridge to Tomorrowland, kind of before you get over the Tomorrowland overhang. We used to stand there, and we were able to, you know, we could see the castle clearly. You know, we could see the castle show, even though we were offset to the side. Great view for the fireworks. With the additions that Disney did, they put a building there. They put extra, you know, landscaping there. That place is no longer a viable place to stand and watch the fireworks and also see the projections on the castle at the same time. You can still see the fireworks pretty well from there, but I was a little disappointed that now the prime viewing area to see both is pretty much Main Street and around the hub. That's it.
You know, and we were asked, you know, can you sit? There are no tables there or seats for you to sit at. You could sit on the fake grass if you want.
And people were.
People do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people were. You know, everybody kind of, when the show started, all kind of pushed to the front railing, obviously, like anything you would expect, nothing like you wouldn't expect. It is an absolute mod house there, but they put in a lot of trees in the past few years going into the courtyard, into the Magic Kingdom. If you remember, go back a few years, that used to be just blank area. Basically, it was pretty obstruct. No, there was really not many obstructions in your way of watching anything on the castle.
Right.
These trees have grown now, and I mean, they're beautiful. Don't get me wrong. I love the way they light them during the day. But, you know, we were one of the few first people into that gated area, and we had an obstructed view. And, you know, to touch on the streaming thing, you got to remember, guys, if you want to film it, don't bother streaming. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be the most
frustrating. Film it and upload.
Yeah. There's just too many people. And I think Disney does something with their communications during that time, probably so nothing gets hacked into while they're I'm not positive, but it just doesn't make sense that I was standing there perfectly before that streaming flawlessly. Then that show comes on, and all of a sudden, I get the spinning dial. But in the grand scheme of things, I think I wouldn't do it again. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. You know, you all could do your own thing. It's your money to spend. My personal opinion, I felt it was very lackluster. I think it was overpriced, and it just wasn't worth it. You know, I saw Ed, thanks for joining us. You know, it's been a while since we've talked. You know, Ed was like, just grab a Rice Krispie treat and just stand in front of the castle. Here's the thing, though. There was people lined up at 4 o'clock to watch this show. I walked right by them. I'm sorry. Even if I'm a local and I can go at any time, all right, maybe you dedicate that day to do that. But I don't know if I'm sitting there or standing there for 5 hours waiting for a show to start.
Yeah, it was
just to be in the front.
I have to agree. I mean, people were getting there around dinner time and hanging out for 3 or 4 hours so they could be right in front of the castle, which really is prime spot. In fact, some people that do a lot of Disney photography, one of their better spots that I've seen is like standing along the outside rim of where the partner statue is. And I've seen some absolute gorgeous shots from there. So, you know, there's a great vantage point. But, you know, again, I don't want to belabor this. I would say that if it was a couple, you know, a couple that wanted to have something special and do something nice, I would probably say go ahead and do that. But here's my take on it. Again, first off, there's no kid or, you know, no kid versus adult price. It's all one price. For $240, that would have paid for the vast majority of a dinner at California Grill, where I could have stood on the top of the Contemporary to watch the fireworks. And, you know, I'm just kind of putting that in perspective. Again, I'm not poo-pooing it. Please, if you had better or other experiences with the dessert party, especially with Happily Ever After, please let us know. Drop us a line, behindtheearspodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Or drop us a line over at our Facebook page as well. This is our experience. Your mileage may vary. Taxes unincluded, void, we're prohibited by law.
You know, Chris doesn't even know this.
I don't.
I'm going down at the end of July for a weekend.
When?
I'm literally going to be there for 24 hours. I'm flying in a Saturday morning. I'm flying out a Sunday night.
When?
Last weekend of July.
Like the weekend of the 28th?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Oh.
I'm literally going to be there for 24 hours. I'm not even going inside the park.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to reveal that later. Oh. We're going to talk about things like that. But I want to try something, and I want to try something. You talk.
Okay, so he wants to try something. He's not telling me what he wants to try. Bummer, if you ask me. It's one of those cases where now he's finally going to tell me. He may even tell me off the air. He may not even tell me. Danny keeps secrets from Mr. Chris.
Is that better?
That is better. Thank you.
Okay. I want to know what it's like to watch this show from either the Contemporary or Poly.
Okay.
And I'm thinking about doing one of them. Because you're not going to see the nighttime show. You're not going to be able to see the projections on the castle.
True.
But how are the fireworks going to be? Because it's a longer fireworks show, but less fireworks.
It builds up. Yeah. It builds up. In other words, it crescendos up into the awesomeness, so to speak. It's not like Wishes that kind of had a constant stream of fireworks and pyrotechnics throughout the event. This actually built up. It crescendoed with the story.
So I will be down there at the end of July, and I'm gonna figure something out. I've been looking at a couple different dates, but you know, as we're talking about next time we're down there, don't forget, we're trying to set up a Behind the Years podcast meet. Now, Chris won't be there, but I will.
And this time I can guarantee you I won't be there. So I know I kind of pulled a fast one on Danny before, and I kept everybody in the dark. It was a great kept secret. Thank you, everybody, for your understanding. But I will not be there along with Uncle Danny this time.
We're going to be setting up a meet in Halloween week. So we're going to probably do some Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. And the Jessica, the meetup for Princess Weekend, Princess Marathon Weekend in February is still up.
Hey, how's that training going, Danny?
It's going fabulous. I've been running. I've been dieting. I've been gaining weight.
You gained muscle. I'm not dying. You gained muscle.
I'm not running. I'm not eating healthy. But
Jessica did not put me up to that. I'm going to tell you that right now.
So to go back to Magic Kingdom, let's talk about the show a little bit.
Sure.
Because we talked about the dessert party, and you know, it was weird going to Magic Kingdom and not seeing Wishes.
It was a little different. But I really enjoyed it, though. I really enjoyed seeing it firsthand. I really liked it.
It was tough, though. Like, I enjoyed it. And you know what it is I like shiny things. And I feel like that's what they did to me. They're like, hey, don't worry about Wishes being gone. Just look at the castle. Ooh, look at all the shiny little things, you know? There were some really cool parts. You know, like when it makes like the castle looks like it's a rocket ship and it's taking off. I thought that visual effect was awesome.
Yes.
I also thought there were other things that I was like, okay. I mean, it makes it where I think that hub in front of Magic Kingdom, right in front of the castle, is going to be mayhem now. Because now you don't have the, oh, let's go to the other side of the castle. Oh, let's go onto the Tomorrowland Bridge. Oh, let's start heading towards Frontierland. Like, there is none of that anymore. Now it's, you got to be in the front of the castle. And now it's not even like you could say, let's go to the train station and we'll just pull out our 300mm lens. We can get some great pictures of the fireworks, and you could still see fireworks from that far away. I mean, you could do it, sure. But you're not getting the full aesthetics of everything going on with on the castle if you're far away.
Yeah, but you know, there's also one other thing, and this is not a one-to-one correlation, but they did the same thing over for like the Star Wars Spectacular and things like that, where you pretty much had to be right towards the front center of the crowd for that show too. And or to have dessert. Actually, if you had a dessert party package for that, that's actually, you got great seating as well as the food right there. But I don't mind crowds, but I don't really care to wait 4 hours for crowds. I don't mind waiting an hour before fireworks or getting to see Fantasmic, getting to the venue an hour beforehand. I don't mind some of those things, but I'm not going to waste basically a half a day, 4 hours, you know, half of a typical business day, for, you know, a 22-minute fireworks display. I personally won't. But I mean, that's what I'm saying. You got to look at it from other venues, other places, and other angles. Some people just want to watch the fireworks. Some people want to really get it engulfed. I loved the story of Happily Ever After. I loved it. I really did. It was a worthy successor. Excuse me, not successor. Yeah. Yeah. Worthy successor of Wishes, if you ask me. But it's not the same. It's not Wishes.
Yeah. And it's not fair to compare it to Wishes. It's not. They're two different.
Right.
You're apples to oranges. Yeah, they're both fruits, but they're just completely different things.
One citrus.
Anyway, I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. I'll leave it at that. To me, it's still a must do. Listen, anything going on at Magic Kingdom, I feel is a must do, especially on the castle. I'm interested to see how they're gonna handle Hollow Wishes for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, because as you know, Wishes went away, but they're keeping Hollow Wishes. And Hollow Wishes is basically Wishes Halloween themed.
Well,
so are they going to keep the same firework projections that we're used to?
Well, let's put it this way. I'm willing to bet that they didn't throw away any of that. They're going to be able to do a lot of the same thing. It's just a pre-programmed fireworks slash projection program. I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think they can switch it very easily between one to another. Most of the fireworks and everything else like that, that's all fired off by a computer anyway. So I don't really see it would be a problem. Let's see. But yeah,
Mr. Jimmy Horn, how are you today?
Hey,
sir.
Jimmy, what's going on, man? I caught a little bit of the Disney Nerds show earlier today too. That was good.
Yeah, guys, if you want, that's another great Disney podcast out there, you know. We promote the people that we love working with and love listening to. Just because we talk Disney, Disney's built into our lives. When we're not recording, we're either watching, reading, doing something. Check out the Disney Nerds podcast. It's a great little show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, Jessica even said same thing with Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party.
Yeah.
It's Wishes Christmas theme.
Well, yeah, but keep in mind the wishes that were themed, the wishes that were themed for either Christmas or Halloween, I mean, they were cool. They were still wishes, but there were some elements of Halloween and a little bit more of those types of themings inside the show. Not really a big whoop-de-doo of a deal, if you ask me. I mean, it's not like the Christmas tag of Illuminations, which is like an extra, 8 to 10 minutes of awesomeness. And, yeah. And if you guys have never seen Illuminations around the Christmas holiday, oh, you so have to do it. Stick around, because after the regular show, they do a whole bunch more, and it's just as awesome as the regular show. That's all I gotta say. It's really, really super cool.
What I do like about Happily Ever After, I think out of all the nighttime fireworks spectacular show, I think it's the best story.
I think it's the best story.
I don't think it's the best graphics, best fireworks. I think every park has a little bit of its own. I think Magic Kingdom by far has the best story with their nighttime show.
Even against Illuminations, not on Illuminations, even against Fantasmic, which is a fully engulfed story.
I liked Happily Ever After story. Okay. Maybe because I can relate to it a little bit easier than Fantasmic. Sure. Because you have a lot of the movies I grew up on and everything along the lines of that. I think when you go to Rivers of Light, I believe that is the best lighting show I have ever seen. Now, their water display leaves a little bit to the imagination. But the light wise, I think it's the best. It catches your eye. Amazing.
Visual. Best visual.
Yeah. I think Illuminations has the best score. I think it's by far the best
hands
music.
Down. I would actually be really upset if you didn't give that credit for that. Yeah.
And I was going to go to Fantasmic, which I feel is overall the best experience as a guest. There's a lot going on. I think there's parts of it that are lackluster, but that could just be my personal taste. And now I know people are going to be like, what about the Star Wars one? The Star Wars one is they have a few bugs they need to kick. They need to figure out.
The
placing of it's really bad.
Well, the placing of it, my son put it like this. He's like, Dad, it was nice. It was good, but it was just a lot of movie clips put together into a fireworks presentation. And Disney also did a little bit of a, I'll call it a show before the show, not really a pre-show. But before the Star Wars spectacular, they now have like a show that is also projected on the Great Movie Ride. But here's my take on it. I only caught the last like 5 minutes of it, but this is my gist of it. It was like watching the last scene of the Great Movie Ride on the Great Movie Ride. Yeah. So, it was good, but again, it's watching clips.
Now Cindy's right. Once Star Wars Land opens, it'll probably move. It won't be there, most likely.
Right.
And I think it'll grow and be even better. Now, Nicole said, what about the best fireworks? And the reason I didn't bring it up is because I still believe the best fireworks are Hollow Wishes. And then if you say, okay, that's a hard ticket event, you can't count that. Okay, I would say Wishes was the best fireworks. Well, now you can say Wishes is not there. So what becomes the best firework display after that?
Oh, Illuminations.
You think so?
I think so. I really think Illuminations in and of itself has an awesome fireworks display. Not just because it has a good story and a soundtrack that goes along with it. I think it has the best fireworks display just because it comes from all around World Showcase Lagoon. I just think there is some awesomeness to it let's put it this way. It's the largest area that they can actually fire off fireworks. Most of the fireworks for Magic Kingdom are fired off just north of Fantasyland or from the castle itself. Fantasmic. It's all right there in front of you in a very relatively small area. And obviously there's no fireworks over at Animal Kingdom for anything that they're doing. So I think that leads to Illuminations. That's just – now granted, that's my 2 cents.
Yeah, but you're also an Illuminations fan.
I am a big Illuminations fan. There is no doubt about it. And, I know that one of these days they're going to change Illuminations. And I think that is – As much as I was saddened to see Wishes go, I think I will be equally, if not more, saddened to see Illuminations go. But I do understand that change is inevitable, and there's one thing that Disney does well is that when they have something that's so much loved like Illuminations, they're going to change it, and they're going to change it, and it's going to be awesome. I have that faith in Disney of that.
The one thing I do like about Illuminations is there are a couple bad spots for the show, but overall, I think viewing wise, I think it is the most opportune. You can basically be anywhere and watch show.
Yeah,
within reason.
Yeah, as long as you're not like looking up and seeing trees,
yeah,
you're gonna be great. And there's multiple places, and you only have to be there about 45 minutes to an hour beforehand. So it's not like you're committing a long time to do that. You don't necessarily need the fast pass, even though you and I also did the fast pass for Illuminations. Let's touch on that. Yeah, okay.
If you're like me and you mess up your fast pass for Frozen and you don't get to go on it, Illuminations is a great fast pass. It was a good spot. You're up. It's the closest you're going to get to like it being right in your face.
Yeah, dead center.
If you don't get a railing, I like to lean on things. I'm a bigger guy, so that was comfortable. What I didn't like is the pilings they have in the water for decoration, which then turn into like a giant tiki torch, essentially. They're gorgeous when the show's not on. Gorgeous. When the show's on, they're a pain in the butt because it takes away lighting. I don't want that light. I want the light from the show. I want the light from the fireworks. That's what I want my eyes to be caught on. I don't want to be staring here, and then my peripherals, I don't want to see that flame just flickering. And that bothered me a little bit.
I
personally wouldn't get a fast pass for it unless you can get one later in the day. I would not book it 30 days in advance. You know, if you're in, you know, if you're there all day and, you know, it comes 5 o'clock, you're about to go sit down. You're like, okay, we've done Soarin'. We did single rider at Test Track. Okay, you know, we did Living with the Land, you know, Frozen, we decided not to do it, whatever the case is. It's 5 o'clock and you're like, wow, Illumination still has a spot. Yeah, take it. Why not? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But don't do it 30 days out and ruin it.
Yeah. Tina mentioned outside Teppan Ito is a good spot to watch as well, especially if you're able to go, yeah, upstairs on the railing. I've always wanted to do it from there. Not to mention Teppan Ito is a really good place to eat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, give it a try. For some people, there are a lot of people that like to watch it from Japan, you know, even with the gateway there that's right there off to the front. People really like that area.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, Magic Kingdom. We're going to go back to Magic Kingdom now.
We'll use our express transportation. Our express bus back over to bed, which, by the way, neither one of us actually used the express transportation this time around.
You know what the funny thing is I always tell people, get the park hopper. Get the park hopper. You're going to want it. Trust me, it's great. The last two trips, I did not park hopper once.
You see, the thing that we did is that it's not that we didn't park hop, because we actually did do things differently in the morning than the afternoon or evening. We actually went back to the hotel to kind of chill out, relax a little bit or whatever. Especially when it was, you know, torrential downpour, we did different things. And, the fun part to it was, you know, we just took another mode of transportation to the second park of the day. So we still needed to park hop. We just didn't need the express transportation. So I'm not saying, by the way, everybody, I'm not saying that it's not worth it. It's just that, you know, depending on your plans, it could be very viable, especially, you know, it could be really a good thing. But if you don't really have a lot of plans to park hop, it's probably not worth it. My take on it, if you don't think you're going to park hop, but maybe one day, just get it for one day. I bet you any money, it'll save you a lot of time.
Yeah. It's people. It's odd. No, Jessica, I did not pay for it. It comes with the annual pass, so it's nice to have it. It's just them been the last two times. You know what it is I was joking around with a couple people the other day, and I was like, you know, it's funny. We make all these plans when we go to Disney, and then you walk into Disney, and it's like the plans just poof. Like, right after, like, the first fast pass, it's just poof. Like, we sat here on a show and we designed my fast passes perfectly for when I walked to one spot to the next. After that first one, that was it. Everything got ruined because I got off of the Buzz Lightyear and all of a sudden I was like, oh, okay, next one is Haunted Mansion. Well, then I walk over to Haunted Mansion. Haunted Mansion is a 15-minute wait. Well, let's go, baby. I'm going on, you know? And I get off and I went back on. But then that delayed me. And then, of course, like always, Splash Mountain goes down. No, Kayla, I disagree with that. I disagree with that statement. Well, not that you don't do it. I just disagree with the notion of it. You know, she says, I never make plans. I just go with it. That is how I end up.
After you make plans.
After I make plans. But to me, walking into Disney blind is a very, very bad idea. And in the aspect of fast passes and dining only. Well, that's where I'm going.
Here's the thing, though. I have to agree with you, but let me quantify my agreement. I don't think that if you're a person that's relatively new to vacationing at Disney, I don't think not having a plan. I'm sorry for the double negative there. I think that if you go there without having a plan, you are going to be setting yourself up for disappointment, plain and simple. If you've been going, you know, for 10 years on a regular basis and you consider yourself a Disney veteran, then, you know, make, like Tina put it perfectly, make plans, then punt. You know, you make your plans, and sometimes, you know, things change, and that's okay. Because you also are not going to feel like if you miss out on something, then it's going to ruin your vacation, or you're going to, you know, be really missing out on something, because, you know, you're going to just have fun no matter what. And that's what my family did. Now, granted, we hit all of our fast passes. We hit our dining plans and this, that, and the other. But, you know, we mainly did things that interest us. And as we walked by, hey, like teacups, great example. Walk by, teacups is only a 5-minute wait. Boom, we're on teacups. Yeah. It's time to get onto the spin cycle. So, you know.
But, you know, I really like what Renee said. For me, planning is also part of the fun of Disney. And it's true, because it's that little juice you get, like, all right, I paid all this money. Let's mess around a little bit. And I can't tell you how many times I've gotten on a bus, and I'll just be talking to somebody. Hey, what's your fast passes for today? My what? Your fast passes. Oh, that costs extra money. We didn't do it. No, they're free. Like, no, you're good. Like, I'll show you. And then it's like, oh, well, the times don't work. Well, yeah. Me personally, I'd rather spend the time to make the fast passes and then have the option of being like, I decide to go do something else. Oh, well. But I want to know that they're at least there. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to ride Haunted Mansion, just go get the fast pass. If you get lucky and you walk by, it's a 20-minute wait. You could do it twice. You could just do it once. You can cancel the fast pass, whatever you want to do. But the problem is if you don't have it in place – this is why I say this. If you don't have a plan in place and you really want to do something, you might not be able to do it without that plan.
Oh, exactly.
That was just my point.
And you know, and the thing is that Tina is joining us, and I've toured Disney with Tina at times. In fact, during the time where they had the Year of a Million Dreams, we – got to Epcot early, and we made a beeline for Soarin', did Soarin', right as they were doing Soarin', we already had a fast pass, so we actually won a magical fast pass for Soarin', or for all the different things in Epcot at that time. So we went on Soarin' again, and then by the time that we were done with our second time of Soarin', we had our fast pass, so we did Soarin' 3 times in about 1 hour and 15 minutes. It was definitely epic. Now, granted, they don't have that type of scenario anymore, but the fact is that there are plenty of times where, you know, we get a fast pass for Buzz. I'll be honest with you, wait time on Buzz could be anywhere from 5 minutes to, you know, 50 minutes, and you never know how long it's really going to be. And you're like, hey, okay, let's do this. Even though I got a fast pass for it in 15 minutes, I'll do it, write it now, do it, write it again. Big deal.
Yeah. And, you know, like Jessica points out, you know, getting ADRs is huge. If that's what you're looking for in a trip, yeah, you need to get your ADRs because, you know, it's funny if you don't. All right, here's an example. When I went down with Matt. You all know Soto by now. If you don't know Soto, Soto's my best friend. We were down there in Disney. And he was like, I don't want to sit down anywhere. I want to walk and eat and experience everything. Okay, cool. Well, you get to Hollywood Studios. Excuse me, MGM. And there is, in my opinion, there isn't really much to just grab and walk food-wise. You know, it's not an Epcot. It's not a Magic Kingdom.
And a lot of the food they have is big food. Like, like even if you go over, you know, the Fairfax Fair and you get one of their hot dogs, well, their hot dogs are gargantuan.
Yeah.
Not quite as good as Casey's hot dogs, but that's a whole different story altogether.
But, you know, I thought, okay, two guys, how hard can it be? We could probably just walk up. They could easily seat us, blah, 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 blah. And I wasn't able to. And it is a bit of a bummer. And that's – it basically goes back to my original statement is – if you don't want to plan, that's your prerogative. It's, you know, that's on you. That's just not how I vacation. That's why our show slug is everybody does Disney differently, because I like to plan everything ahead. And then basically when I get in the park, I literally take my plans, I rip them up and I say, all right, let's go.
Yeah. And there are times where, you know, you try to do it on the fly. Sometimes it works out for you. On our last full day at the on property, we actually went over to it was kind of cool. We were staying at the Grand Floridian. We walked over to Kona Cafe for breakfast, and it was kind of funny because there was like nobody in Kona. And they're like, oh, well, we'll have to see if there's seating for you. We'll text you when a seat is available. I'm like, hashtag really? And so I go, okay, I walk away. I get a message on my phone. Your table's ready. I'm like, really? You couldn't have just told me this? So we actually got a walk up for Kona. And then by the time we were done, it was actually busy again. But you know, the thing is that you can, if you want to have, you know, anywhere sit down, it really is best to do ADRs. If you're on the dining plan, especially the regular dining plan, and you have those table service dining credits, you better have ADRs or you could be stuck. I'm just telling you that now. Anyway.
Yeah. If you're looking for a fancier sit down place or a popular Cinderella's Castle, things like that, that's a major issue. That is a major issue because you are not going to be able to get you're not walking up to Cinderella's Castle for dinner. You're not doing it.
No.
You're not doing it.
No, it's a wing and a prayer if you do. And if some people say, if you are able to do that, congratulations. You should have bought a lottery ticket that day too.
Yeah, and I would love to. Please come on the show and tell us that you were able to do this. I want documentation because I don't think it's ever been done. So, all right. That basically almost wraps up our trip.
Well, there are a couple things.
Okay.
So here's the funny part.
Oh, boy.
So we talked about on the other show about how you and I and our families and friends got stuck on Pirates for 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Did I tell you that we got stuck on It's a Small World?
Oh, God, no. That's my nightmare.
We got stuck on Small World for about 25 minutes. And fortunately, it was not in a room where they were actually singing with lyrics, but they were playing the song over and over and over again.
Oh, my
God. And I was with my family, and I'm like, man, getting stuck on Small World is punishment for shoplifting in some countries. I mean, we got stuck, and I was joking around with my wife. Let's go on Small World, they say. It'll be fun, they say. What could possibly go wrong, they say. And, yeah. So, I'm not going to go on Small World for a little while. It wasn't anywhere near as bad as the Pirates of the Caribbean debacle that we were all on.
Tanya's right. Good thing I was not there.
Yeah, so, but that happened to us. That was cool. But, you know, I will tell you this. Here's also one other thing I wanted to make mention. You left on Wednesday. We checked into the Grand Floridian on Wednesday. We were supposed to leave on Friday. Basically, on Thursday, my wife and I decided we're going to stay an extra day. So I said to myself, self, what am I going to do? Well, I pulled out my phone. I logged into my account for DVC. I did a search. I wanted to find a studio anywhere. And within only a few minutes, I had a studio room available over at Saratoga last minute. I only borrowed a few points from next year, which is not a big deal. We do that all the time anyway. And lo and behold, we stayed an extra day. And I will tell you that I was really surprised to be able to get a studio somewhere last minute, very last minute. But it was kind of cool. We decided to leave property on Saturday, and get home Sunday rather than, being home by Saturday night. I will tell you this right now. That's one great thing about driving is that we had the flexibility. It was a great thing with DVC because it didn't really cost me anything right off the bat. It was a wonderful thing that I used Hilton points to book my trip, my intermediate stop on the way home, because that didn't cost me anything. So, in essence, the only thing that it cost us for that extra day was extra food. Didn't really cost us extra whatsoever. And I gotta be honest.
That's also the luxury of DVC.
Though. It's a luxury of DVC. It's a luxury of driving. It's as simple as that. Now, I will tell you this. I love driving in a caravan with another family. And that's what we did going down. So, you know, I like that because you have safety in numbers. If something happened to somebody, you always have a chase vehicle to go get help, go get parts, whatever. It's been several years since I've driven by, you know, without having that safety net. I didn't have an issue or anything like that. I wasn't really too concerned about it. But, you know, it was just one of those cases. I missed having my travel partners. But other than that, it was really cool being able to do that. You know, sometimes you can still get last minute rooms at Disney and this, that, and the other. I still think it's hard to do. And I think later down the road, it'll be very hard to do, like in the road, I mean, during the summer season. But sometimes you get lucky. So I was able to squeeze an extra day of magic in there.
That's awesome. So Gordon had a question. So Chris, let's see for a second. All right, we have about a few more minutes. So did you want to touch on anything else before we open up the floor to everybody?
I wanted to just stop and say something about two things. First off, I thought the Wilderness Lodge was fabulous. I think the Boulder Creek Villas, the way that they redid it with the you know, the hardwood floor and stuff like that was wonderful. Really.
Why don't we do this? I don't mean to cut you off. You cut me off. Mr. Chris is off tomorrow night. Thursday. Why don't we do a full resort recap of all yours and mine?
Oh, okay. Let's do that.
I have a lot of people asking for mine too.
Okay. You know what? That sounds like a great idea. So it just gives everybody to tune in on Thursday for that. Hold off for
that. In here. Tuesday is going to be our
Thursday.
Sorry, today's Tuesday. Tomorrow, Wednesday, Mr. Chris is off and we're doing trivia. And then Thursday, and I do have a giveaway. Got to find out what it is, though. And Thursday, we will be doing our resort roundup from Chris and myself. Now, Chris stayed at how many? Four?
I stayed at Saratoga, Art of Animation, Boulder Creek Villas at Wilderness Lodge, and the Grand Floridian. I won't count the second stay at Saratoga. But, yeah. I stayed at four different resorts while I was there.
So there we go. So then that is that. That's our schedule for this week. And what was the other thing you wanted to touch on?
Well, it was involving a resort. We'll hold off on Thursday for that.
Okay, perfect. So Gordon had asked before, as he's never eaten inside Animal Kingdom.
Oh, okay.
And he would like to know where we should go eat. And I think he should go to Yakety Yak. Don't come back.
Yak and Yeti.
People are going to be like, Uncle Danny from Behind the Ears podcast told me to go to Yakety Yak. Where is this? It's not on the map.
That's right up there with me going up to Casey's and say, hi, I'm Mr. Chris. I'm here for my corn dog nuggets. And they're like, yeah. And
what else would you like?
Yeah, what else would you like? Would you like a soda with that? You know, I've always liked Yak and Yeti, and I think I've been to the quick serve place right outside of it, even more so, which I think is really good too. I'll be honest with you. I love Tusker House for breakfast. I try to stay away from breakfast, especially character meals at Disney, because they're so darn expensive for what you get. But I think the experience that we had over at Tusker House, and yes, it is a character meal, was really, really good. And I really love the idea of getting there at 10:30, getting some breakfast, and when they switch it over to 11, you get yourself some lunch. Really a wonderful place. I will also give a shout out to Restaurantosaurus. It's not bad for good old fashioned, you know, just regular fast food type of place. I will tell you, Uncle Danny, Mr. Chris's favorite spot is that if you go a little like around and to the front, there's like an old gutted out, redecorated Airstream trailer that you can sit back there at. It's a whole lot of fun. But I do want to try Tiffin's. I do want to try Tiffin's sometime soon.
What about Flame Tree Barbecue?
You know what? I haven't been to Flame Tree since they've redone it. I love Flame Tree. but you gotta flat out just don't dink with anything else. Just go for the ribs. Simple as that.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing is, you know, you hear people a lot of saying, like, oh, there isn't really much to eat in the Animal Kingdom. There's a lot to eat in Animal Kingdom. You have to be adventurous a little bit, though, in certain aspects.
Well, you can go to Pizzafari and get yourself some usual stuff like that. I mean, it's your typical Disney pizza. It's not bad. It's not great. It's pizza.
Tusker House is pretty American.
Tusker House is pretty American, but it also has some African flavor to it, which I think, you know, you can get as adventurous or as non-adventurous as you'd like. As I said, Restaurantosaurus is pretty much American. The area, I can't remember what they call it, but it's over, like, on the opposite side of Tusker House. They have that whole marketplace type place where you can get different things. There's some really good stuff over there.
We're over by Harambe Market?
That's it. Yes, thank you. And it's been a couple of years since I've been over that way. And actually,
good drinks over there.
Yeah, they have a lot of good stuff over there. But I will tell you this, it gets very crowded around lunchtime. So you really want to get there early or a little bit late. And also, there are some seats that are just hot because it's kind of out in the sun, too.
Well, speaking of that, Tina touched on that. She said, you know, she loves the outdoor area Flame Tree, but you got to remember that's really all they have is an outdoor area to eat, and it's not covered. So if you get there, you know, on a cool day or later in the evening when it starts to cool down, great. But if you're there for lunch at 2, 3 in the afternoon, you're going to bake.
Well, they've redone a lot of the seating area over by Flame Tree. And there's a lot more vegetation in that area where it actually provides, you know, better shaded areas. So I think that's really good. And Gordon, yes, the rib talk's got me hungry. I had ribs the other day from a local place that is absolutely fabulous. But, you know, I'll give a shout out to Frank's Backyard Barbecue. Anyway, so great ribs. Simple.
I thought you were going to give the address and everything because I was going to die like a commercial.
I don't know the address, but they're right here in Cedar Lake, Indiana. Yeah. Okay.
Seating is not actually covered, though.
No, it's not actually covered. There are some pavilion type areas, but it's not actually covered. It's not formally covered.
How about the snack shop over at the conservation station?
I don't know.
I did try the new barbecue place at Disney Springs.
Which one was that?
The Flying Pig.
Oh, you did. I tried Deluxe Burger.
So did I.
And I'll be honest with you, I was impressed with Deluxe Burger.
Were you?
Well, I don't know if it's because we were flat out really super hungry, but I really enjoyed it. It was really super good. A little bit. It wasn't cheap, but it was. No. But it was a really good burger. Julie said she did Blaze pizza today. God, I love Blaze myself.
I didn't. Pizza. That's the one thing I wanted to try. Then
there was always a line.
I took a picture of the one. And granted, I waited from the minute I sat, the minute I got online to the minute I ate was almost an hour at Deluxe.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was granted, it was a Saturday. It was a Saturday night.
Yeah. Oh, but I will say, did you try any of the food trucks over there in Disney Springs?
I did not.
Now, we did that Friday night when we arrived, and we got some stuff that was really good. Although, Kathy got some kind of tacos, but I think they chipped her on the meat and gave her three tortillas because two of them were blank. You know, had nothing there. Virginia got something from Bongos, and she's good. And I bet you any money if she's watching, I'll hear her yell it out here in about 3 minutes, or you know, after the delay goes by. But that I had those, and I was like, oh my gosh, those are so good! They're so good. They bypass the digestive system and turn directly into body fat.
I'm sorry.
No, I was gonna say, but we tried a few places, and believe it or not, it was very busy. Very busy.
There's three places I didn't get to eat, and Brandy, that was one of them. I didn't try to get to try Homecoming, which I was pretty upset about. I didn't get to try Blaze, which I'm not really like, whatever. It's just
pizza. I know. You're a pizza connoisseur.
But I am. Third one was, oh man, I just had it in the tip of my tongue. Now I forgot. I'll let you know what the third one was. Abracadabra. Yeah. I did make it there, but they were closed.
I will say, you and I have talked about it before. The Hangar Bar. I think next time I'm going to try some of the food they have there next time we go out there. I think that was really cool.
So,
you know, but go back to Polite Pig. It was really good. The food was phenomenal. Great barbecue if you like it. I highly recommend it. And if you're not a barbecue person or you have someone in your party who's not, they do have a like a rotisserie chicken style dish, which, you know, is pretty – I mean, I'm not going to say it's bland, but it's not barbecued. So,
what was the question that Julie just asked about Planet Hollywood? Ooh, Blaze Pizza's opening in Fishers. Yes.
There's a Blaze in downtown Indy, too.
Yes, there is. I've been to the downtown Indy one over by IUPUI, as a matter of fact. I thought there was another one. But, yes, she
Hold on.
Yes, Alex. Yes, she did.
yes, I'm wondering if Planet Hollywood has upgraded their food.
You know, Julie, I'll be honest with you. The next time I go, I'd really like to go to Planet Hollywood because I've seen a lot of really good, huge portions of food from the Planet Hollywood. Now, I realize that large portions doesn't necessarily equate to good eats, but, you know, even like T-Rex, they have some awesome sized portions if you're super duper hungry, and it's good food, large portions. It's not necessarily great food. So it sometimes it all depends on, what you want. I'll tell you what, Danny, this is going to be a little plug for our friends over at the Indy Disney Meet coming up here at the end of August. If the Blaze Pizza and Fishers is open by the time we go down there, I'm taking you to some Blaze.
Look, and Cindy knows what's up. New Jersey has the best pizza, but I'll try Blaze when we're down in Indy. I will definitely try it. All right, guys. So, Chris, any final words?
Oh, I don't think so. I know that we've been talking a lot about our trips, and I'll be honest with you, there's a lot to talk about. And I'm still started going through pictures. I realized this one thing: I need more hard drive space. Mm-hmm. So I'll be posting pictures out at the Disney community site as soon as I'm able to upload and sort through all. I think I took pretty close to 2,000 pictures. Oh, by the way, that's just with one camera. I haven't uploaded the camera from my HX20V yet. So we'll just have to see about that.
So with that being said, guys, thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Behind the Ears Podcast. I am Uncle Danny. I would like to invite you guys to follow us on all our social media platforms. Facebook is Behind the Ears Podcast. Instagram is Behind the Ears Podcast. Twitter is at Behind the Ears PC. Any listener questions, comments, concerns, maybe you'd like to be on the show. Email us over at BehindTheEarsPodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget, we bring you content 7 days a week, everybody. We release shows every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We also go live every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 9:45 Eastern Standard Time over on Streaming the Magic Facebook page. We also just started a fantastic blog where we put out a blog every day, guys. So definitely go check it out. Lastly from me, don't forget to go on iTunes, rate and review the show. And I hope you all have a wonderful evening. I will see you all tomorrow night for Disney Trivia. I am signing out.
And I'm Mr. Chris. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us. And don't forget, while you're rating and reviewing, go and subscribe to the podcast. I'll tell you what, we've seen some awesome numbers, and it's all because of you. Thank you so much. Hit that subscribe button over at iTunes, Google Play. And also, I'll tell you right now, you got it yourself an Alexa device. Just say,
hey Alexa, don't forget to play the Behind the Ears podcast.
And Alexa will do just that. I can tell you the truth. I actually want to get one of those things just so I could do that, believe it or not. Anyway.
New one drops tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, anyway. But again, thank you. We're here because of you. And we are just so thankful for that. And we'll talk to you again soon. Have a magical day. Take care. Rock on.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation. Right at the start of everything that's new, one little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas. Anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam That's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment. And there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.